Last week we were in Matthew chapter 15, and you know, they were debating over tradition, and Jesus healed many people before that, and he basically healed all the people, the sick. He healed the people that were demon-possessed. He walked on water. He fed the 5,000, and now we're entering into Matthew chapter 15, and also it's in Mark chapter 7. And now the scribes and the Pharisees, who were just from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And they, we talked about how, they do not wash their hands when they eat their bread. We talked about that last week. And so, Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for this channel, Lord, and this word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study, Father, this time, this sermon. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We ask that your Holy Spirit aid us now, Father. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys, man. Listen, last week was radical because we were talking about the Pharisees, and these were the members of a party that believed in resurrection in the following legal traditions that were basically ascribed not to the Bible, but to the traditions of the fathers. Like the scribes, you see, they were also known as legal experts. You see, they were partial overlap of the memberships of two groups here. Listen, it's amazing because these are the know-it-alls. They know everything about tradition, Judaism, God. But the problem is they're hypocrites. They go around studying the Bible, and they know the Word of God inside and out, and then they find somebody or something, and then they point their finger at him and trip him up. And so here they found Jesus in front of the disciples, in front of the people there. They're washing their hands, showing the reverence and respect to God. And now they're saying, look at you. Ha-ha. And so here we have these type of hypocrites in today's society. And they're even in the church and outside the church. And we don't need to point them out. God knows. But this is what's going on. And this is what's happening now. Listen, believers. Here's where it starts. Believers, listen. You may be thinking, oh no, here we go again. This is where the Pharisees come in, man. They're everywhere. Oh, he's gonna start talking about Pharisees, hypocrites, and I don't want to hear it. But that's not what I'm doing. The Bible says in 1 John 4:20 that whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. And for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So we see that in Galatians also 6:3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Because we as believers, we can't live a life of accusing and falsely looking at people and this and that and being a Pharisee. But here in the Bible, we're talking about Matthew chapter 15, and this is where the tradition and the debate happened. And last week, we left off on chapter 15, and we were in verse 16. And before that, it was 13, but it said he answered in verse 13, Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. So let them alone, and they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain the parable to us. And so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, and it is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile all man. Verse 19 says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. verse 20 says, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with it, with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So Jesus is saying, look, you don't got to worry about a defiled man that eats with an unwashed hands because he's not defiled. Okay? He's saying that it starts in the heart. Okay? It starts with compromising. It starts with you hanging out with people that are not of, that are unequally yoked. It starts with believers compromising with God a little bit here, a little bit there, a little leaven's the lump, and pretty soon you got you're walking around in a forest and you don't know what you're doing. This is what's going on. Listen, believers, believe me. It's a fact. We see the fornication, and this is what starts in the heart. Listen, it says in verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. We're born sinners. We're going to die sinners. And that's why it says that if anyone thinks there's something there or not, they deceive themselves. We can't deceive ourselves. We can't compromise. You see, Jeremiah 23 says in verse 11, both the prophet and the priest are godless. Even in my temple, I find their wickedness, declares the Lord. We see the wickedness in man. We suck. We can never amount to God and be equal with Jesus Christ. We cannot be equal with the Father. We're always going to be under Jesus Christ and submissive under him. We have to submit to him. Because Job chapter 8 verse 13 even says, such is the destiny of all who forget God, so perishes the hope of the godless. It's real. Here Jesus is saying, look, you're not going to trip us up, man. You're not going to trip us up with washing in the hands in the Judaism tradition. We're going to have that because we're messianic. Jesus is saying, you can be a Jew. You can have Jesus. You're what they call a messianic. And the Pharisees are like, oh, yeah, look at that. Look at that. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah, you're this. You blah, 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 blah. You know, they want to trip him up, man. It's just like today, man. Listen, Luke chapter 12, verse 2 says, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden, that will not be made known. My friend Jose always says that, He always says, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. And he's right. You could try to dress it up, man, any way you want. You can paint it nice, make it look good, but it's true. Everything comes out that's disclosed or hidden, it will become and made known. Because sin reveals itself. And Jesus here is, man, he's everything. But we see in these verses where it starts in the heart. Listen to this. Verse 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, it starts with the mouth, actually the heart, but out of the mouth comes from the heart. See, it starts from the heart. Out of the mouth, and they defy that. That's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Satan likes to put the thoughts in our mind. He keeps compromising it. Let me whisper about this person. Let me gossip. Let me just, let me play the laws of power game and lie to people and manipulate people. And then pretty soon you're caught in a web. And in the end, sin will find you out. And nothing that you say or do will help you. Because Jesus knows everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows everything. Listen, believers, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, and yes, fornications, thefts, crooks, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with an unwashed hand does not defile a man. Those are the sins that defile a man. Wow, it's amazing. So if you go in order, it says, you steal. A liar is a thief. A thief is a liar. They go hand in hand. But verse 21 says, then Jesus went out from there. Okay, now the disciples, now listen to this. The Pharisees are just like tripped out, man. They're like, I don't, okay, this guy's like got us on a good one. You know, I mean, they're hypocrites. Listen to this verse, Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And they are. Believers, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Remember that. Remember when we talked about that in Matthew chapter 6 weeks ago. It said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 1, it said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Hypocrites. And like a couple weeks ago, we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region in Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Remember, son of David goes back to Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Shows the lineage of the priesthood, that Jesus Christ was of the priesthood lineage, and that he had all the rights of the the priestly Levite tribe. And he was not only the son of God, but he is God. And so, O Lord, son of David, that's why she said, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. And you know, today I don't think of demon possession as it was like back then, or, like the Exorcist movie. I think it's a bunch of clucked out people that are just, they don't have Christ. And they're all drugged up, walking around, lost. I think that's what we're looking at today. A bunch of demon-possessed people that are, there's a lot of people out there that are like that, and they're just, they're gone. They're too far gone. You know, I mean, they go through money like candy. It's demon possession. The sin has been, it's messed up the mind so bad, it's warped it. You don't want to be like that. I met a guy on the streets and he said, man, I was a hardcore Christian. I loved Jesus. I never forced it on anyone. I worked out my salvation. I did what I did right. And this, but I bought into that lie from the devil and I ate that nasty seed and him telling me I can get high a little bit or drink a little bit of whiskey. I mean, the guy's teeth were like $50,000 teeth. Beautiful smile. He had it all. He had a house. He had a job. He had friends. But he bought into the lie from Satan. Just snort a little coke and you'll be all right. And he did. He began to tell me that he ended up going through his inheritance, his money, his mother's money, his dad's money. He deceived, manipulated, he lied, he cheated, he fornicated, he had committed adultery he did it all. And he still can't kick the habit. He's been to 5 rehabs. And he said he's been content in what he does. Would you call that demon possessed? No, I call that addiction. I call that addiction. I don't know, man. There's a difference now between addiction with me and sin and, you know, but we see what happens when we play with it. It's amazing, man. Lord Jesus, help these people, Father. Only God, only Lord Jesus, you can do it. And so he compromised. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 says, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, and they did not submit to God's righteousness. And that's the key. Submission. Obedience. Believers, we got to be obedient to Jesus. We don't want to be out there eating drugs and doing things that we don't know about. Whatever is stealing, all that, man. It defiles a human being. and we compromise. A little leaven leavens the lump, but he answered not a word when she talked about the demon-possessed man in verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. They were like, scared or what? Jesus is out there trying to demonstrate that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that his commitment to Israel is solid. And he calls them the lost sheep. But Jesus would always give the Jews the first opportunity to accept him as their Messiah because he loved them. The children that Jesus referred to were the people of Israel, and the little dogs referred to the Gentiles. Okay? So basically, we can see here where God is now moving in the hearts of the people in that area, and he's moving in the hearts of the non-believers. He's moving in the hearts of the Pharisees. They're even looking at him. They probably don't care, but he's effective. He's very effective. And now he's urging this woman's trying to, convince him to help her. Listen to this. It's amazing. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because he loves Israel. Israel has a place in the Bible. Israel is of course it's a Jewish state, but Israel, Jesus loved Israel, and he still does. He still loves Israel. And Christians, they all support Israel. And Israel is a beautiful state. Listen, verse 25 says, then Jesus came and worshiped him. Okay? She came and worshiped him. Jesus doesn't worship anyone. let me correct that. Verse 25 says, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay, the dogs are referred to as the Gentiles. Now remember that. And now because the scene's going to change here soon. It's radical, man. Listen to this. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Well, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Well, you see, because the woman was a Gentile who would basically have had no natural claims on a Jewish Messiah. And so this is the verse that demonstrates Christ's commitment to Israel. And so whom he called the lost sheep. But listen to this, believers. The children that Jesus referred to were the people of Israel, the little dogs, and they were the Gentiles, okay? So because, you had back then the Gentiles basically. We see that Jesus was on a mission to serve Israel first, and she basically was trying to catch him up, not on purpose, but, it was one of those things where Jesus was on a mission to help Israel because he loves the Hebrews. I love the Hebrews. I love the Hebrews. I'm the Hebrew. I'm Hebrew Yos. I like the Hebrew Nationals. Those are good hot dogs. Listen, believers, Jesus departed from there, right? Okay. And, he said, let me, verse 27, and she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall on their master's table. Referring to them. They want help too. They can get some from Jesus too. He'll help them. He'll hook them up. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Just like the soldier that brought the sick, that his son was sick and he told him, just say it and, it'll be done. And that's what happened. All you have to say is, Jesus was teaching them that you don't have to depend on my physical appearance. I'm here, but you could just pray to me and I can live in you, and you can ask in faith and I'll give you what I want you to have that's good for you. So today when we leave, I don't want you to say, oh, Yost, yeah, you know, we asked for this, man. We didn't get it. You know, God don't just pop out, you know, things that you want because he knows it's, you know, bad or good for you. It goes back to that obedience. It goes back to that, you know, be obedient to Jesus and ask, and he'll bless you. Listen, Jesus departed from there. In verse 29, he skirted the Sea of Galilee, skirted, like, you know, and went up from the mount on the mountain and sat down there. You know, and it's a, and there's a period there. Listen, that's verse 20. There's a period there. He went up to the mountain and he sat down there. Imagine that. He just sat down there. Probably, you know, he's looking over, you know, he's just looking at over the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it's beautiful in Israel, you know. And he sat down there and he's, you know, he's doing his thing. He's God. He's probably, you know, I'm not going to add nothing to the Bible because I don't want to get punished, but let's just keep reading. And then verse 30 says, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet. They dragged them in and he healed them. He healed them all. He healed them. He just, boom, healed them. And so the multitudes marveled. They're like, wow. When they saw that the mute was speaking. Listen, can you imagine? The, you know, and the Pharisees, you know, they're over there spying with their little, you know, they got their tunics and all that. They're spying. They're over there looking. And so the multitudes marveled when they saw it. And they were like, wow, the mute's speaking. The maimed made whole, and the lame was walking, and the blind seeing, they glorified the God of Israel. Listen, this is radical because a lot of people don't touch on this. They read it, skip it, and move on. People, listen to this. The lame, you know, the lame, the mute, they can't even speak. Listen, believers, I'm excited. The mute, they can't even speak. The blind, they can't see. Isn't that funny? Jesus wants to heal us spiritually so we can see what our next step is in life. He wants to heal us from being a mute so we can speak about his goodness. And he wants to heal our maimed bodies so we can walk and do the will of Jesus. That's what I got out of that. As believers, we sometimes are spiritually muted. We're spiritually blind. We're spiritually lame. And we need Jesus to undo our stuckness. Does that make sense? Listen. Because he wants to use us. And you may think, I don't know how I can do that. I'm a mute. I'm a lame. I'm blind. I can't see. I can't hear. Spiritually, you can be blind like that. Trust me. Because you've compromised. But you need to come back. I pray that you come back. You can come back right now. Listen, anyone out there that's lame right now, that's spiritually lame, mute, and blind, and you're on drugs and alcohol, or you're fornicating, you're laying with another woman, you're not supposed to be married, you're not married to, God says, get up, I can forgive you. Go back to your wife. Repent. I'll take all your sins and bury them in the bottom of the abyss, and I'll never throw them in your face again. He says he'll do that. He will. Satan says, no, you're defiled, and you're going to burn in hell. Keep laying with her. Keep drinking that beer. Keep doing this. Keep doing that. Jesus says, no. No. I can forgive you. And the devil's a liar. Woe to you, teachers of the law of the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. And in the same way, of the outside, you appear to the people righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. That's what we have also today in these so-called churches. Well, they take your money. Sign me up! Yeah, right. Listen, Jesus Christ came to cleanse people from their sins. It's crazy. They glorified God because only God can do this, not a false pastor or a false deacon on a set of a movie or a church. Only Jesus Christ can do it. And yes, he can still heal today. He is still powerful today, but he doesn't want your money when he's healing you. Verse 32 says, now Jesus called his disciples to himself. He called them to himself. You see, it's about him, not us. It's always about Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's always about you, not ourselves. And he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days. They're being faithful now. Look, they're being obedient. 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. He didn't want them to pass out. And so then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? Because he's going to perform a miracle. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a little, a little few fish. And so just like the other chapter we read. And so he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. You see how they're giving and giving and giving and giving? God loves givers, but he doesn't want your money. He wants you to get out there and spread his gospel. That's the giving he's talking about here, man. Not your $100 bills. He's talking about get out there and give, give, give. The gift that keeps giving. His grace, his mercy, his love, his kindness, his attributes. Be like Jesus. So they all ate and were filled because you can be filled with his Holy Spirit. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. And they ate. Listen to this. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent them multitude. He sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala, in Hebrew, Magdala. And that's the whole chapter of 15. Listen, Jesus Christ filled them, and they glorified him. We can give thanks for this, because Jesus said to them, how many, listen, loaves do you want? How many loaves do you have? I mean, he turned it into a miracle like we read before. And today he wants to turn you into a miracle because he's saying, look, stretch out your hand. If you're spiritually blind, you're spiritually mute. If you've fallen from your old way, back into your old ways, you've slipped back into your old behaviors. Let me forgive you. Come to your Father. You don't have to live a life like this anymore. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be nasty. It starts in the heart. Listen, Jesus says it starts in the heart and it comes out of the mouth and you start to do those things. Listen, back up. Draw the line right now. We're living in some tough times. Draw the line. Say no, I'm not going to stand for that. Stand up. We're all a moment away from God's, eternal salvation. Don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. You're not worthless. You have something. You are something. God loves you. He has a plan for you. He loves you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. It's not about the church. We have the fellowship. I get it. It's not about the pastor. We get it. It's about Jesus. He wants the glory. He says, glorify me. He says, just glorify me, please. Luke chapter 20 says, beware the teachers of the law. They like to walk around following robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of the honor of the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. We don't need to be like them. Let's be like Jesus. He loves you. Father, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you that we're able to repent, Father, and come back to you, Lord Jesus, because we're sinners. We don't have to do the things that we want to do. We can do what you've called us to do, and that's to be new and to be renewed and have that hope, that blessed hope that you've given us, Father, on the cross. You died for us, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we know that Matthew chapter 7 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say that to you, Lord, on that day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out the demons and perform many miracles. But Father, you will then tell them plainly, Lord Jesus, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We thank you, Father, that you are able and you are in control of every situation in our lives. And we're grateful for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, God bless you guys out there. If you're out there, you know, send me an email. Send me whatever you want to do, man. I've been hearing a lot from you lately, and it's a blessing. God has got a beautiful plan for you. He's got a beautiful destiny for your life. You don't have to quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stand up. Jesus Christ will provide the way. Just get up and let the Holy Spirit work in you, man. He loves you. Growing in His Word is powered by Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit. Man, we love you guys. Listen, we're teaching the Word, man, verse by verse. We're going through the whole Bible. We're on every radio program almost there is out there. The message is free. God is in love with you. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. God bless you guys, man. And we'd love to hear from you. Go to growinginhisword.com, growinginhisword.com, and click on, you know, anything you want there, and you will see, you know, all the radical stuff that we have, Bible study materials, what, you know, the beautiful Jewish state of Israel means to us, and what we teach, our doctrine. It's all there, and it's all free. God bless you guys, and thank you for growing in His Word.